From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Papal conclaves produce smoke, popes, and B-novels. Just like romance, murder, and espionage, there is an entire genre of pop novel, one just as common as it is crass, the papal conclave novel. Dozens of works of fiction have been written about the process that began today at the Vatican. The Final Conclave, The Accidental Pope, Pope Joan, and Windswept House are just a few titles that would line that shelf. It appears that the secrecy and ritual surrounding the conclaves makes for a great beach reading, and we've asked a couple of Jesuit priests to talk with us about this phenomenon. Father Mark Lewis is the interim director of Catholic Studies at John Carroll University in Cleveland, Ohio. Mark Lewis, nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And Father James Martin is the associate editor of America Magazine in New York. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And I believe we have assembled the Martin and Lewis of Vatican commentary by having you both together. Father Lewis, first of all, many of us are familiar with Morris West's Shoes of the Fisherman, which was made into an Anthony Quinn movie. But I gather you've got that book and several others of the genre on your bookshelf.
Well, I've done some reading. I'm actually one of the few people probably who've read both Angels and Demons and The Da Vinci Code.
That was Dan Brown's other book, Angels and Demons.
That's right.
Other books?
I looked at Andrew Greeley's The Making of the Pope, The Cardinal. And I did look at Malachy Martin's Final Conclave as well.
Any recommendation here?
Watch the movies.
Father James Martin, I gather you've been able to avoid reading the genre of fiction generally, but what do you think accounts for its enduring popularity?
Well, I think a few things. The Conclave has two out of three things I think a good B novel has, which is it has power and religion. The only thing it's missing is sex. You know, we hope it's missing sex, at least. But, you know, on a broader level, you have this sort of fascinating otherness of Catholicism in a largely Protestant culture, you know, here in America. You have these great visuals. I mean, you have cassocks and habits, and anyone that's tuned into CNN lately sees all these mitres and incense, you know, what we Catholics call smells and bells. And, you know, let's not forget the Michelangelo's Last Judgment as well. So you have that, and then you have the secrecy, which I think freaks a lot of people out. I mean, anytime you have secrecy in any large organization, people say conspiracy. So you have all these things. You have this otherness, you have these visuals, and you have this secrecy, which means that, you know, these novelists can write whatever they want, basically.
Are there some little bits of papal conclave history that are just irresistible to the novelist when they write these stories, and that, you know, we're going to get some variation of in most books?
Yeah, I think sort of irresistible is this idea of secrecy, which lends itself to all sorts of conspiracy theories. So, you know, I think, for example, in White Smoke by Andrew Greeley, there's a conspiracy, a power struggle that's going on. In the book Conclave by Greg Tobin, I think there's a group called Evangelium Christi, which is kind of a thinly disguised Opus Dei group that has a conspiracy going on. So, and even in Dan Brown's Angels and Demons, the Illuminati surface to work their conspiracy theory. So that sort of veil of secrecy really enables the novelist to sort of, you know, take the ball and run with it.
Mark Lewis?
And given that you have the imagery of the already in place and everybody recognizes that, but you don't know what's actually happening, you can put in the context of all the imagery, the purple canopies and all of that, your own idea of what the politics might be like. And that gives you a lot of freedom to sort of make up the conspiracies that you want, but put it in the context of something that people have touch with that reality.
Well, the problem, though, I assume it's a problem for a novelist who tries to tackle the papal conclave, is that if you try to find insider accounts, it's not like writing Gore Vidal writing The Best Man and finding mm-hmm. people who talked about a political convention. There aren't very many accounts of what really goes on, are there?
No, there's a few. I mean, there are a few cardinals that have left their diaries behind. But, you know, most of the stuff they talk about is fairly prosaic in terms of vote swinging from one person to another. Although there was the conclave that elected Paul VI, where Paul VI at one point was going to withdraw his candidacy, and he stood up to do so. And one of the cardinals pulled on his sleeve and said, "Shut up, Your Eminence, and sit down." And, you know, he became Paul VI after that, after taking that wise advice.
The line, "Shut up, Your Eminence," is a great one. Father Mark Lewis, as a priest, do you find yourself intensely curious about what's going on? Because, after all, it's the curiosity about this that I guess would drive sales of a novel.
And I would say it's, from the priesthood angle, it's watching to see who's going to be boss. So there is that interest. And I think probably for Catholics especially in general, but maybe for the whole world, there's that interest in seeing how this process is going to work itself out. In many cases, there are probably more opportunities to talk about the things that the author would like to talk about in terms of the way they would like to see the church to go rather than in touch with reality. The conclaves are instruments for putting forth an idea, putting forth a theory.
Yes, in the shoes of the fisherman, as I recall, a pope from behind the Iron Curtain is elected and becomes very politically engaged in the world. A very outrageous scenario for 1960, whatever.
In 1968, and interesting because, yes, behind the Iron Curtain and certainly issues with the political world at the time. But also, I think the thing that made Shoes of the Fisherman so endearing was that this was a pope who escaped from time to time to talk with the gardeners, to talk with the people. And I think that captured the imagination of what a popular papacy could be like.
Is there a phenomenon, and either of you should answer, I mean, do you ever hear what a cardinal told the bishop, who told the Monsignor, whom you know, about what actually went on during that conclave? I mean, is it that kind of scuttlebutt about what happens at a papal conclave?
Well, of course, if we said, we'd have to be killed, so we wouldn't be able to say anything. Sure there is. I mean, I think, you know, they take an oath, you know, against divulging anything. But, you know, you hear stories about, you know, the way these things are conducted, and I think things eventually seep out. But a lot of it does come from these diaries that are released, you know, years after the death of the cardinals, which historians sort of pore over for, you know, ideas about how these things actually work. And then, as you say, they find their way into, you know, B novels, and we end up with Pope Anthony Quinn.
That's right.
And then you do get an oral tradition that comes in as well. So you hear stories around Rome from time to time of a servant opening a window and making the sign of scissors to let you know that Sarti was the one who was elected, things like that. Are they true? It's sort of hard to tell, but they certainly get into the storytelling and the oral tradition, and then obviously become the meat for novels.
Well, Martin and Lewis, thank you both very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's Father James Martin, who is Associate Editor of America Magazine. He joined us from New York. And Father Mark Lewis, who's Interim Director of Catholic Studies at John Carroll University in Cleveland.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.